Thank you. Hallelujah. And Ken, if you're watching tonight, sweetheart, you understand what he meant. Hi, Ken. It's so good to be here tonight, isn't it? Don't you feel good? You know where the presence of the Lord is, there's liberty. You may come in a little tired, or you may, you know, feel like you need a little sleep or something. But when the presence of the Lord is there, it rejuvenates you. And you know, the Word of God is active and energizing. Take the Word of God and read the Word of God and you just become full of joy. It's awesome, isn't it? Hallelujah. Well, turn to the person next to you and say, I'm going to get what I came for tonight. Hallelujah. So good to have my friends from 30 years ago here tonight, Shirley and Earlene Mitchell. They live here in Dayton, and they are great lovers, or were great lovers, of Pastor Jim's mother, and they was real friends, and I'd like for them to stand up. They've been so good to me all through the years. I can always go by their house and get something to eat, try to steal her clothes, and do it. We used to have a joke. I'd go through and I'd say, Earlene, what you got new? Let me see. And I just appreciate that so much. Friends, my friend Dave told me one time, he said, Elaine, if you live your entire life and you have two or three friends, and he explained to me, he said, a friend that knows you, a friend that saw you in your worst, a friend that knows your weaknesses, someone that would pick you up. He said, you're a rich woman. So I'm a rich woman tonight. I thank God for my friends like Jim and Kathy Martin. What a great, great friend they are. And I want you to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1. In traveling the way I do, I'm going to leave here and then I'm going to go home and preach, and then I'm going to leave Sunday afternoon. I've been in Cincinnati this last few days. Before that, I was McAllen, Texas. That's about a 2.5-day drive for me. And I see, how many of you know what I mean when I say every church has a different culture? And I think the hardest thing of being an evangelist that moves in the prophetic is going in from one church culture to a next culture. It's like going from one house to another house. Some folks have a little sign on the door that says, leave your shoes here. And then other people, if you start to take them off, oh, don't take your shoes off, come on in. You know what I mean? Some folks you can go in and get in the refrigerator, and the others you wouldn't dare go there to the refrigerator. And every church has different cultures. And that's why that I love your pastor so much, because they are just who they are. Now then, I was raised in the Pentecostal church where we prided ourselves in having ragged clothes and holes in our shoes and driving cars that were real bad. We had the concept that if you were poor, God would bless you more. We tried to be poverty stricken at times, and we would even brag about it. And during all this stuff, I really got to the point of confusion. The same thing happens to people that don't pray and seek God and pray in tongues. They go from different places and the different cultures mix them up. It's the same thing with what I see going on in the world and in the church world. We have a real need right now for godly pastors. The sheep are hurting. The sheep have been left. I go to one church, there's 750. I go back the next year, there's 50. I inquire and I say, what happened? And they say, oh, we had another church split. And the Bible tells us plainly that a shepherd is to care for sheep. It's simple, isn't it? A shepherd is to care for sheep. So what do sheep need? They need the Word of God. They need the Word of God preached to them so they can understand what God expects of them. They need a man or a woman of God to take the Word of God and explain to them what truth is. They need a man or a woman of God that when they are downcast, to go over and pick them up. If America churches have ever need anything, it's the mercy of God and the mercy of love to care for people. Because they're hurting. There are many people that will never go back. In the city that I live in, Fort Payne, Alabama, there was, I'd say 3,000 people moved from Pennsylvania, Florida, Hawaii. This was back in the 1970s. There was a preacher there, and people moved in by the droves from all over the United States of America. And they built a big tabernacle on top of Lookout Mountain. And oh, they were so faithful. They wore long, long hair and long, long dresses. They could never have anything. They had to work in the fields and bring everything to the church and not buy food and houses and clothes for themselves. Well, that lasted for about 10 years, and at the end of 10 years, the preachers left. And there was the people from all over the United States of America. Then God sent me there. And I'm, you know, questioning God. My daddy called me almost every week. Elaine, please come down here. Please come. I haven't been breathing well. And I think I'm going to go home. I'm just going to go home. I want to go home. I said, oh, daddy, I bind that in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to let you go anywhere. Yeah, Elaine, come on down here. So I started praying. I don't know. Listen to me. I don't know any other thing to do than lean on Jesus. I don't have anybody or anything that I can lean on. Where do I go when I can't see a firm foundation? Where do I go when it looks like hell is assailing me? I have to go to Jesus. I don't know anybody else to go to. I don't belong to a denomination. I don't belong to a sect of people. I have to depend on Him and His Word. And so I went to Jesus and He said something so strange. He said, pack up everything you have. Sell your house. Get in your motorhome and I'll tell you where to go. Well, I went into sweet little Ken and I said, Ken, we had worked so hard. We had worked. My husband sold cars. He was a Kmart manager. He was just a worker. And I worked all the time. Preaching. And I really love it. It's not hard. I love to preach. But I was just going and doing and going to the prisons and doing everything I thought that I could do for God. And I said, Ken, we just got this house. I painted and decorated it. I've wallpapered it. I've done everything I know to do. I said, I've been to bargain barns and Big Lots and everywhere buying bargains. And I've got it fixed just like I want it. But the Lord said to sell it. He said, oh, Elaine. I said, well, honey, you just do whatever you want to with it. I'm under your authority. When I'm in the pulpit preaching, you know, I'm under God's authority. When I come out of that pulpit, I know the government of our marriage and our home. I come right back under you to make decisions. I said, so just do whatever you want to do. But he went to bed. He rolled and tossed a while. Got up and walked the floor and prayed a while. And God said, sell the house, get in your motor home, and I'll show you where to go. So we put the house up for sale, and a lady drove by the first day. We put for sale by owner. She drove by the first day and come knocking at the door, but I was out preaching because Ken was at work and I was gone, so there was nobody there. So she came back in 2 weeks and found me there, and she knocked, rang the doorbell and knocked too, and I went to the door and she said, listen. She said, I'm Catholic. I buried Joseph upside down today. And she said, I know that I'm going to find my house. So she came in and was oohing and aahing and, oh, this is it. I know this is it. And I said, well, okay. She said, how much do you want for it? And I told her. She said, I'll give it to you. Didn't even try to, you know, get me down on the price or anything. So we sold everything, put everything in storage, got in the motorhome, and went to this place, Fort Payne, Alabama, where there were all these hurting people. Without a shepherd. Who had been sold out. They had worked and given everything. They were on poverty level. So when I came in and my dad said, Elaine, take the church, and he went on to heaven and left me there. They didn't even have a shoe store. They had a Hardee's and a Waffle House. And I told God, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, but now you're going to have a shoe store here because I have to have shoes. Bible says, blessed are the what? Of who? Therefore, he wants me to have shoes. Bless God. I know what the word says. How beautiful are the feet. So I prayed and they got me a shoe store. And then I prayed and they got me a Cracker Barrel. And then I prayed and they got me a people store. And I just kept on praying. We got a super Walmart now, honey. And here are all these little people. Daddy had about 15 people left because he couldn't preach and everybody had left. So I got in there and all these people started coming. Football teams and high school football teams and all these little people with all their little stories. How much money do we have to pay you? That's all they knew. That's all they knew. And so I told them, I said, I'm going to be a volunteer pastor. So I've been there now 12 years and I still don't take a salary. And I've paid all the money and got them incorporated, and I've got all the kitchen redone. I've even got them some little padded chairs. They've got nice carpet. They've got a new kitchen. They got all this stuff. But I don't take any of their money. Because they didn't know that there was righteous people that really love God enough to preach the gospel without a salary. Sheep will go out and get into briars and bramble bushes and run through dirt and weeds. And a sheep will become so full of limbs and debris that it will go over and lay down on its side and become cast down. And we've got a whole lot of people across America that are cast down because they don't feel like anybody really, really, really cares about them. And it is our job in the day we're living in to pray in some godly men and women everywhere to go along with the ones that we do have to care for the sheep. Once a sheep is pregnant and they run through all these little weeds and they get down on their side, they never get up. They're cast down. That's the word. Remember the scripture, why so cast down, oh my soul, put your trust in God? Because these sheep get cast down and then they can't get up, so they turn over on their back and they die. And I'm afraid right now in America that we've got some sheep that need to be cared for. They've heard everything. They've been taught everything. They've watched everybody take everything. And they're just looking for somebody that's real. And I knew it wouldn't be wrong for me to take a salary from my church. I work hard. But the thing about it is, I had to teach them first that I love them and I don't want just what they have. Are you hearing me? Listen to this. Verse 18, Romans 1. Because tonight I believe that I am a preacher of righteousness. And I know the message of holiness or hell is true. And we need, no matter what anybody says, we have got too modern and too careless with how we treat people. And God isn't pleased with no love in the church of the living God. We are going to get back to the basics of loving sheep and loving people and being compassionate and merciful. And then the miracles of God and the revival anointing will be poured out like never before. Amen. Well, amen anyway. Amen. Does anybody agree? Amen. All right, verse 16, excuse me. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by popularity. The just shall live by politically correctness. The just shall live by faith. The righteousness of God is so important. The verse 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Wrath? Ooh, I don't even like that word. But it's in God's word. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Truth prevailing creates an atmosphere for miracles. Truth being preached from men and women of God, not holding back. You see, back in those old-timey Pentecostal days, we would hear preachers say, today I'm coming in and I'm going to split the hide and pour in the salt. And they would get in the back room and talk about it. I busted them today. Well, see, God is wanting some men and women of God that love the sheep enough to explain to them what they need to do. Show it to them in the Word and then love them. Not pour in the salt. Not split the hide. Not see how many people that they can make hate them. But see how many people that you can find in trouble and bring them out. They are downcast. They can't get up. They're going to die. Here we have this last week lost another pastor of 2,000 member church in Atlanta. See, I don't understand how that we can think the wrath of God righteous and live like the devil. Sin is sin. And we don't have enough preachers telling the sheep that they can't sin. We've lost preaching, children, obey your parents, because we don't want to miss anybody's tithe. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. If I make you mad, I'm sorry. But the Word of God is still true. We tell people to go by the Spock method, so we have kids walking in saying, talk to the hand. If I'd have told my daddy to talk to my hand, I would have got his hand big time. So we've raised up a generation of people that don't believe in respect. They don't respect men and women of God, and they don't respect parents. And they don't respect anointing. And God is calling people now to come on and let's preach the truth. Tell people what's wrong. Not just be politically correct because you want another offering or you want another church or you want something greater. God said to do the Word of God. Not be a hearer only, but be a doer. Preach the Word of God. Paul told Timothy, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, whether it's welcomed or unwelcomed, even if you got to stand alone, you better preach the truth. Amen. God will bring what you need in. You'll never do without working for Jesus. I've never had a bill that wasn't paid. I've never missed a meal. And if I want a pair of shoes bad enough, He always gives it to me. Lord, there's men here. They don't want to hear that testimony. Okay, tell them anyway. I went to Burdine's in Florida. I was preaching a great meeting down there. And I went to Burdine's. Burdine's a nice store in Florida. So I walked over there at the store and I said, shoe department, where's the shoe department? How beautiful are the feet of them that carry the message, the good news. That's my outlet. That's my scripture. So I go over here and I'm looking at the shoes. I'm looking. Oh, I saw a pair that was so godly. Oh, they were godly shoes. They were more than enough. But the price was outrageous. So I tried them on and I put them back over there and I said, I speak the word over these shoes. I'll come back next month to preach. I was helping a church out and they'll be half price. And so I picked out three more I couldn't think I could live without. And I set them there and I put my hand on them in Jesus' name. Oh, that's crazy. That's immature. That's simple-minded. Well, I did it anyway because I found out it works. So I put my hand on the three pair I wanted. I went back the next month and they were half price. And the Lord said to me in the middle of Burdine's, He don't talk about shoes. He talks about grasshoppers. My God, let's axe heads float. My God fills up jars after jar after jar of oil for the widow woman. I'm serving a God that will provide your needs and your wants. Put my hand on them in Jesus' name. Went back the next time, marked down again. My size. Well, you could do that for a hammer or a saw, you mean, or whatever you want, table saw. I just happen to be a woman preacher. I don't need a saw. But in these things that I'm seeing from all this preaching and all this different cultures, I'm seeing people take money and use it wrong. And then over here I'm seeing some that believe it's wrong to have a car that really runs. I go to all churches wherever. I went to a Cumberland Presbyterian church here a while back and I'm standing there preaching. I just started singing. just singing hallelujah. And all of a sudden everybody run to the altar to get saved. And the pastor come to me and he said, we don't have altar calls in our church. I said, well, sir, I didn't ask him to come to the altar. I said, it looks like me, God did this. So what do you want to do? Do you want to talk to God about it? Or tell them to leave? They're getting saved. Oh, I guess it'll be all right. Now watch this. He said, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So we won't be able to stand before God with any excuse. We cannot be ignorant, because God said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives it liberally. So they're not going to stand before the Lord God Almighty and say, well, you know, I read your word and I read your word and I read your word, but I didn't know. Because the Bible says if you ask Him for wisdom and seek for wisdom like silver and gold, He will show you the truth. Amen. I am the way, the truth, and the life, He said. So all you got to do is ask. And then He said when He, the Holy Spirit, comes, He'll lead you and guide you into all truth. So there's no excuse. Watch verse 21. Because although they knew God. Say that with me. They knew God. Say it again. They knew God. So these are people that knew God. They knew God. It wasn't, heathens. They knew God. He says, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. Now here's the thing. All these people in America that supposedly know God. Yet there's people that are hungry and the church don't feed them. They come into the church dead, empty, gloom, despair, and agony on me. And they don't have any joy to put in them. The joy of the Lord. They don't have any laughter to give them. They don't never have a dance to put in them. They don't have truth like you men here are preaching. They just give them a little sermonette and say, go home. But when we stand before God, hear me. If you're watching on the internet, listen to me, preacher. You are going to give an account for every word and every message and every penny and every amen that you've ever said. And it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So He said, because they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. Neither were they thankful. Not thankful. Not thankful. Not thankful. Unthankful. Unthankful. I was in Aba, Africa. And I got off of an old rickety, rusted out plane. I landed in Nigeria and then I got on an old rickety, looked like tore up plane and flew into Aba. I got off the plane and there was street lined with grown men with their feet rotting off. Just sitting there on the street corners with their feet stuck out like this, bleeding, corruption running out of them with no life. I've never been to a place that I felt was more like hell. And they're just sitting there with flies all over them. As I walked on up further to another place in another church, when I got out of the car, there was little babies laid everywhere all over the yard. It was so hot. It was like 120 degrees. And all those children were burning up with fever. And those little mothers were there, sitting with them. Women are considered dogs. They didn't have a pretty dress. They didn't have a pair of shoes. They didn't have nice hair. They were just dirty and matted. Everything. I'm looking around and I'm thinking, and some of us people in America, we take all this money and we have 15 cars and we have a house here and a house there and beautiful bedspreads. Those little women fought over an empty band bottle of mine. A deodorant bottle. They're not thankful. And I want to tell you right now, we're arguing and fussing and fighting. Some churches, cultures that I go to, they're fighting over who parked in their parking place. They're always fighting on praise and worship teams. Who's going to lead? Who's going to play? Who's going to have this? You wouldn't believe what goes on in so many places if you don't travel. They're arguing over the color of the seats. They're arguing over, are we going to have a TV or are we going to have a Mac? Board. Speakers. And then they split over the craziest things because they're not thankful for what they have. If you're not thankful for everything God does for you, it's a sin. I'm thankful that I'm preaching tonight. I'm thankful for the doors that God opens for me around the world so that I can carry the ministry and the gift that God has given me. I never go into a city or a hotel room that I don't thank God. Lord, I thank you that I'm in this city and in this church, and I believe that you're going to use me for your glory, because I know a lot of preachers that never get an open door. Are you thankful? Gary Carpenter ought to be so thankful for the revelation and the wisdom and the heart that he can teach. And he is. What if you were Jim, Pastor Jim? And you had people all over the country that were ordering your CDs and listening to your broadcast and wanting to be in your college. That is a gift. What if you were like Janet and could sit down and start tickling these keys and do nothing sometimes or just And the power. Do you know what people would give for that anointing? Well, the only way you're going to keep that flowing like fire is to be thankful for it. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
He said, they did not glorify God. They were unthankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image. You who are listening to me, are you leaving the glory of God and having your heart and your thoughts and your minds on things of this earth? You ought to be in church every time the doors are open. You ought to love God enough that you want to be there to spark the fire if nobody else does. Well, I don't want to be loud. Why not? The world is loud for their God. This is not a show. This is not a performance. I'm not trying to hype you up. I'm preaching the unadulterated word of God. You have got to keep God number one in your focus. And then if you are a minister and you're listening, you cannot get all built up in yourself because you'll fall. Pride goeth before a fall. Nobody knows everything. Everybody's still learning.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
Say, I thank you, Lord, for what you've taught me. So they've changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. And they won't go preach. I called a lady the other day and I said, I have a lot of people that are poverty stricken in my city. And I said, I have some young people. And I really do teach them. About every 6 months, people give me things. If you think that God won't take care of you if you take care of people, you've got another thought coming. Because, I get things given to me. I have bagfuls just from Cincinnati. So I go home and I get all the ladies in my church. And I just go in there and hang up stuff that I maybe wore every day for 3 months. You get so tired of it. Not that I think I have to have anything new, but people give me new. What can I do? Throw it back at them? I keep it. And then I go home and I have these girl days at my church. I line up everything I can think of and give it all away. And as soon as I give it all away, I'm not believing that God's going to give it back to me in clothes. Because I really don't need them. But I just keep on getting. It's like the oil. It just don't wear, it don't run out. We play games, me and God, with diamond rings. He gives them and gives them, and I give them and give them, and he gives them and gives them. And he said, I asked him one day, I said, what is this about all these rings? I said, many preachers preach against these, God. The wearing of gold and putting on platinum hair and oh. He didn't say it was wrong to wear gold or plait your hair. He said, let the adorning be on the inner man. So I said, God, what are you giving me all these rings for? I gave away about 18 or 20 now. 2-carat, 1-carat diamond rings. Then he started with fur coats. And I started giving all them away. And he just kept giving them back. I couldn't help it. He said, I know that I can trust you to bless my little people. I know you'll pass them on. I said, well, praise the Lord. Therefore, remember, they changed the glory of God. The glory of God is important to you. You need to live in the glory of God. And he said, they changed the glory of God. Therefore, God has also gave them up to uncleanliness. Remember, these are people that knew God. And in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Now, look up here just a minute. Do you know how fast? And I love these people. But do you not understand and know how fast that our society is being perverted? You used to watch Andy Griffith. You watch Sanford and Son too? I love Sanford and Son. There used to be movies that were decent. There's hardly not a Disney movie out now that there's not homosexuality in. Everything is homosexuality. Everything. And it's not shamed. There's not a lot of preachers preach against it because they're afraid they'll go to jail or their people won't give or they'll lose somebody. But if we show these people that we love them but hate the sin, amen? I was singing at a huge church here in Ohio, and the man that came out and sung had a Grammy award-winning song. And he sung that song and the anointing filled the house. People were running to the altars and crying. And if I told you the song, every one of you would know it because it was so great. Talked about standing before the Lord. Talking about how wonderful it would be when we walked into heaven. Man, it was an awesome anointed song. But 2 years ago, and the man done the front of the service for me twice. I went in, the pastor said, guess who's here? And I said, oh yeah, everybody know his name. He has everything. Double wards, everything. He said, he's here tonight and he's going to sing two songs before you preach. And man, I was thinking, wow, that's good. He's great. And he had the anointing and he was dressed nice and he had everything looked like going for him. But last year he stood up and he said, listen, folks, I am struggling to be free. And he said, all these years, 40 years, I've been writing songs and serving God. But he said, I've been in bondage because I'm really gay. And I need to be free. Let it get real quiet in here. I don't care. Maybe I better come down here. He stood up in front of this whole big church group. And he said, I'm coming out because I want to be free so I can really work for God. Where is somebody that will either get up on TV or get up at a big conference? I go to them. They're nobody's saying anything about it. Nobody's preaching. So now they're training our children in some states. It's okay to have two daddies. It's okay to have two mommies. It's okay. You're born that way. And this man said, I've got four children, but I know they'll understand. Now I want to tell you this, and please don't you ever forget it. Just because you're anointed and just because God has given you a gift is no guarantee that you're right. Gifts and talents are from God. But what you do with that anointing that He gave you is what's going to be the judge of righteousness or unrighteousness, whether you go to heaven or hell. You can be anointed. Very anointing. And when you don't obey the Word, it's all wrapped up in the nutshell. Are you going to be a Word walker and a Word talker and a Word doer, or are you going to go with the world? Integrity is the thing. I've seen people empty wheelchairs. I've seen people go in empty ambulance. I've watched people raise the dead and open deaf ears and blind eyes and go get dog drunk and have homosexual acts that night. You say, what happened? They left the glory of God. They left the Word of God. Somebody said, well, I just don't know if what's right. Well, let me tell you. Read my lips, what's right? The Word of the Living God. But we as ministers have got to stand up. And every believer is a minister. He said, if you're a believer, what will you do? Cast out devils. Right? If you are a believer and a minister, it is time, past time, that we do something to help the sheep that are downcast. I had a little boy come up to me the other day. He said, Missy Lane, I've never had anybody ever tell me I've been a homosexual all my life. And he said, I've never had anybody tell me they love me from the pulpit and tell me I'm going to hell at the same time if I don't change my way. You love the sheep. You hate the devil. And some Christians are believing it. Oh, God just made them that way. Oh, please. How can anybody believe that God, my loving Father, would make an Adam and Steve instead of an Adam and Eve? Men don't fit. Men take, marry, and multiply. That's right. Amen. Well, they're going to hate you for that. Well, you know what? I might get killed for this, but I'm going to walk in the righteousness of God's Word. Therefore, listen up. They're all over the stages, everywhere you go, in some of these churches. Little men with little frilly spirits and little homosexual demons all in them. And I love them. I love them. If you're bound by a drinking spirit, I love you. If you're an alcoholic, I love you. If you're a lesbian, I love you. If you are a thief, I love you. If you're an adulterer, I love you. If you're a fornicator, I love you. Enough that I don't want you to go to hell. He says, therefore God gave them up to uncleanness and lust in their hearts to dishonor their body among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Can't you understand when you got to have $6,000 a year to pastor a church? You don't know any. I know a lot of people like that. When I asked that little girl to come and help my little youth, she said, I want $5,000 a night. I want a 5-star hotel with 5 rooms, and it has to have a restaurant that'll fix my food and carry it to room service. And then I want $5,000 up front, and then I want $1,000 every day I'm there. Now that sounds like the Apostle Paul, don't it? I said, well, honey, you know I really love you and I love to hear you sing. Man, you are great. But you know what? I don't need you. You say, now that was me. No, it wasn't. It was the truth, not a lie. Right up the road the other night, a man preached. $75,000 was his offering. $75,000. It's out of whack. Yeah, but Michael Jackson makes it, and when he was here, he made it. And Elizabeth Taylor, she had $3 billion estate just in jewels. And look at all them, they have it. Well, that's the world, people. Oh, God, I plowed good, but I've hit a stump. He wants you to have a great car. He wants you to have a nice house. He wants you to have shoes. But when you have to have $6,000 a year to preach for Jesus and 3 airplanes and a $4 million house that you can drive a bus down the hall, but you don't want to get out of balance and go over here like we used to in the Pentecostals and say, you don't have a hole in your shoe, baby, you're not holy. If you had over 1 meal to eat today, you a glutton. You don't want to get out of balance. There's a balance in everything. Amen. And it sure ain't not buying shoes. Because how beautiful are the feet? What? Can I go just a little bit further? Am I? You want to throw me out? I told the Lord, don't make me say all this tonight, but He didn't listen to me. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. The truth of God is that Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil for you. He made you an overcomer. He deprived the world and the devil and anybody else from the power of harming you. Sure, He'll try. Sure, He'll try. He'll try to take your kids out. He'll try to do everything. But you know what? Greater is He that's still in you than he that's in the world. And you do not have to succumb to the devil running you into the ground. You are the powerful one. You are the one that has the truth. You worshiped and served the creature. And I know I want you to respect your pastors. I want you to respect the men and women of God. But if you have one that just wants to be served and not serve ever, servanthood is who Jesus is. A a creature, who serve the creature rather than the Creator. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Talking about people that knew God. He gave them up. He gave them up. Here's the answer. For this reason, they worship the creature. And see, that's what lust and being a covetous person is all about. That's what homosexuality is being a covetous person. Self-seeking. Think about it. Self-centered. He said, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions. For even the women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also, men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error of which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. You have got to get the knowledge of God. Who He is. Who you are in Him. What He gave you. What He done through Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Jesus, in the beginning the Word, Father God, and the Holy Spirit moving on the earth. And Jesus became that little baby conceived by the Holy Ghost in a little girl's womb, born of a virgin. He don't believe that no more. It's the truth. He became a human being so that He could be the first fruits. He became a human being. He was God in the beginning. He was God manifest in the flesh. And He's coming back as the Almighty. He's the Son of God, yet He is the image of the invisible God. Likewise, the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves. Now look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind and to do those things which are not fitting. What's the word? Deceived. Deceived. Now, 2 weeks ago, another, if I told the name, you'd know it, stood up. Good looking man, good looking wife, down in South Georgia, great big church, curly black hair, nice suits, to his little sheep that paid his bills, that bought his car, that fed his belly, that provided him a house. And he stood up and he said, I know I've preached to you for many years now. But he said, you know what? It was so bad that Brother Norville cried. He said, but I'm homosexual. Been this way all my life. Can't shake it. I'm just going to obey God and fall on into it. Can you say deceived? Yeah. Now remember, what did God say? He gave them over to this deception. See, people are being deceived. If there's one prayer that I pray all the time, please don't let me be deceived. Please don't ever let me be deceived. Take me on to heaven, but don't let me be deceived. Amen? Look at Solomon. He was the smartest, most wisdom-filled man. God said it. He had wisdom. He was so great. He was so wealthy that when the Queen of the South came, she fainted when she looked at all his wealth. And God just said two things. Don't go with foreign women. You've heard me say it for 30 years. It's worth repeating again. Greed. Glory. Goofy gospel. Guys and gals. Everybody throughout the whole Bible has been brought down by those. All the time. And who would ever think that this one in, oh my, oh my. Friends and neighbors, listen to me. Perversion is hellbound. And somebody needs to stand more and talk about it. These little kids don't know. I have a friend who is a principal in the state of Kentucky where I put my tent every year. And she said, Elaine, all I do, me and my assistant, is drag little girls, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, every day out of the bathroom having sex. Good Christian, spirit-filled principle. She said, see, you don't know how bad it is. And I'm afraid sometimes we are busy in the church doing the work of God. And we don't understand what's going on out there. But if we would preach, I have people come up to me and all these different places I go. Man, I go into some churches that are good, some are bad, some are full of devils, some are full of angels. There are all kinds of cultures. But you know what? I have to go because God called me to go. I have to go. He said, listen to this. I want to give you two scriptures because my teacher said the old and the new. Don't you just love him? Oh, and don't you love his wife? Revelations 18:22, you shall not lie with a man like a woman because it is an abomination. Leviticus 20:13, if a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them has committed abomination. Now how can we justify that in the church? Little guy came up to me in Texas the other day and he said, Sister Elaine, I'd like for you to come to my church. Now this is one I didn't go to and I'm not going to. Okay? He said, I'd like for you to come to my church. I said, where is your church? He said, over in a city that starts with a D in Texas. And I said, what kind of church is it? He said, oh, we got 250 people. We're all free. We've been set free. We're all gay, and man, they would love to hear you preach and look at your shoes. He said, you are a fireball. They would, I said, hold it. Wait. You are telling me that you go to a tongue-talking, spirit-filled, gay church? He said, oh yes, it's wonderful. Our pastor is so wonderful. He's got his partner. I said, you better move before I vomit on you. I did. I said, ah! He didn't know it, but he was about to get regurgitated on. What do you think God thinks about all this? And where are some godly men and women that will scream it from the rooftop? You're going to hell! Watch this. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting. What does your Bible say? Unseemly? Convenient? It's not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness. This is what he calls unrighteousness, folks. Sexual immorality. Wickedness. What's that next word, Brother Gary? Right? Full of envy. Murder. We kill 4,000 babies a day in America. And if you think that the judgment of God will not ever come, you've got another thought coming. There's two things that God don't take lightly. One of them is killing innocent children. Murder, strife. There's that of the word deceit. Being filled with all unrighteousness is deceit. Evil-mindedness. Oh my goodness, whispers? You mean you're not even allowed to whisper to your about your neighbor? No. Backbiters. Haters of God. Violent, proud. Boasters. Boasters. You better just boast in Jesus and leave you out of it. Oh, you didn't like that. Don't boast in you. Boast in Him. Because if you get so full of pride, you're going to fall. I've seen preacher after preacher after preacher after preacher fall. Because remember, greed, glory. Don't try to get the glory to you. You'll fall. He said inventors of disobedient to parents. You mean when I go to Dr. Spock and make him stand in the corner 2 minutes instead of getting and whipping their backside? Well, you either go by the Bible or Dr. Spock, whichever one you want to go. America. America. Can't you understand that if you let a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old and a 6-year-old lay in the middle of Walmart and kick and scream and knock over aisles of shampoo, can't you understand that they want attention? We're not going to give them a spanking. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving. Unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So if I'm a preacher of righteousness and I tear out the first chapter of Romans and wad it up and say I'm not preaching that because they won't give me an offering and they won't like me and they might not buy my CD. When you buy one of my CDs and I roll up down here at the Shell service station because I'm a traveler, all my CD money goes in my gas tank. And if God tells me to give them, I give a lot of them away. I appreciate everybody that gives CDs away. But the Lord told me to buy gas with it. So you just got to obey God, right? Amen. Say right. Amen. Everybody's got to obey God. Amen. Just got to obey God. It's my gas money. I may go to another church down the road and get $58. I need that gas money. Well, God extends you. Well, I've walked in there before and told them, hey, I'm beautiful. I'm a godly woman, and I'm preaching. Can I have my gas free? And they say, no. Well, they do, Sandy. Do they let you have yours free on your good looks? Wrapping it up and quitting right now. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now this is why that I believe it's so important for men and women of God to preach against sin. It's because these little 3, 4, 5, 10, 15, I'm doing a little girls' conference because God told me to. And I did it last year, and it was so great. 35 people between the age of 12 and 18 was baptized in the Holy Spirit on Friday night. 35 little girls. And He told me to do this. But they would come to me and they'd say, Sister Elaine, I'm a lesbian. Can you help me? I said, raise your hands. Give them this word. Tell them that they're going to go to hell. cast the devil out of them, and you could hear the demons just screaming. They'd fall out on the floor just screaming and get up. I got letters from them this year. They've never been a lesbian anymore. So I'm not in this for fame or fortune or money or to be cute or nothing else. I'm in it to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I know that if you will preach truth, God will do the miracles.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If the Bible is not fitting you, you need to change. The Word won't change. God don't change. People change. God don't change. The Word don't change. It is an old highway of holiness. It is back to the basics of the Bible. It is. Had a beautiful little boy come up to me and he said, I don't want nobody to know it, but he said, and this was, and you all know this man, Olympia Washington. And his little boy came up to me the other day and he said, real good looking guy, about 6'3" now. He said, Elaine, you used to come to my house and stay when you preach for my daddy. And he said, I wanted to tell you this, but I couldn't. But now that I'm a man, I'm going to tell you. When I was 3 years old, demons started coming into my mind when I was 3 years old. He said, I can remember it. I'd lay there and men would walk through my mind. He said, when I was 5 years old, they'd come into my mind in my dreams at night and take off their clothes. He said, I wanted to tell my daddy. He said, but I told him one day I was having problems, but my daddy got mad at me and said, oh, why don't you be a man? And he said, by the time I was 12, he said, in my dreams, I would dream about sex with men. He said, now, I'm 35 years old. And I've been homosexual. Can you help me? I put him in my arms. I said, honey, I can cast the devil out of you. Now look, folks, if I'm going to pray in tongues all the hours and find my love, the love of my life, Jesus, and know what the Holy Ghost has done in me, then I need to use all this power that we possess to cast devils out of people that want to be free. We're not waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. We've got the power now. Cast out devils. Cast them out. Preach truth. Let God be truth and every man a liar. If you're an adulterer, fornicator, backbiter, whisperer, envy, if you covet everything, if enough is never enough, like we heard this morning, if you just cannot, quit spending, quit charging. There's more divorces with money than any other thing. The churches need to have classes on how to tell women to quit charging. But we don't. We're so lacking of love for the sheep. We need to have this. We need to help divorced people. We need to help divorced children out of divorced family. We need to feed the poor, yes. We need to help the homosexual and the harlot. We need to do all these things because we are the church of the living. Raise your hands right now and say, Lord, I'll never be deceived. Say it again, I'll never be deceived. Look at the neighbor beside you and say, I'll never be deceived in Jesus' name. David was a man that could kill a bear. He was a man that could kill a lion. He killed Goliath by the help of God, everything he did. But he was deceived by Bathsheba. Don't be deceived. The Word is true. Sing, Janet.